John Bolton is in federal court. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, for a hearing. There's a former Trump national security advisor who got fired, then became an outspoken Trump critic, was charged with mishandling classified documents, some of it considered top secret.
He is facing 18 counts in this indictment after a grand jury met yesterday. The charges of not only keeping top secret info, but sharing it with family members.
Fox's David Spahn outside the court in Greenbelt, Maryland.
Bolton said in a statement of his former boss, Donald Trump, quote, "Now I have become the latest target in weaponizing the Justice Department to charge those he deems to be his enemies with charges that were declined before or distort the facts."
And Bolton calls his conduct lawful. It is day 17 of the government shutdown that House Speaker Mike Johnson keeps blaming on Democrats.
They refuse to just do their basic job, get the government going again, making sure that federal employees are paid, that our troops are paid.
He's pushing for a simple funding extension, but Democratic House Leader Hakeem Jeffries keeps saying it's Republicans' fault for refusing to negotiate with them.
To enact a spending agreement that actually makes life better for the American people, while also addressing decisively the Republican health care crisis.
In 2 hours, Ukraine's leader will be at the White House. The day after President Trump had another call with Russian leader Vladimir Putin and set up another summit in the coming weeks after the one in August in Alaska that did not lead to the ceasefire the president's pushing for today. Volodymyr Zelensky will ask for advanced missiles to keep up momentum battling Russia.
U.S. intelligence sharing has allowed them to make some significant strikes on Russian energy infrastructure. There are also signs that Russia's economy is bottoming out. Just this week, President Trump touted a promise from India that they would soon stop buying Russian oil. Now Ukraine wants the president to approve the sale of Tomahawk missiles so that Ukraine can take out weapons depots deep inside of Russia.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich. After a short truce between Afghanistan and Pakistan, a suicide car bombing today near the border triggered a new skirmish. Six militants and a soldier dead. America's listening to Fox News.
You ever wonder why Verizon charges twice as much as Pure Talk for the same basic service? Think it might have something to do with the fact that Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion. That's billion with a B. Yeah. Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. That's why they can offer unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Save an additional 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say the words micro. That's #250, micro.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report phishing, and update your software on all your devices. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes identity theft guaranteed or your money back. So stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck. Terms do apply.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Burke-North. The city of Yuma is asking locals to fill out a survey to help improve the city's future for the next 5 years. It's all part of the Consolidated Plan. It guides community development priorities. The plan identifies housing, neighborhoods, community needs, and sets priorities for how federal funds will be used. Residents are encouraged to complete the housing survey by November 13th. Plus, following nearly a decade of service to Arizona Western College, AWC President Dr. Daniel Kaur announced his intent to retire. His retirement marks 34 years of service in community college education. The college says one of his many accomplishments is the development of a model for career and technical education that has been recognized across the nation and globally. Kaur's retirement will be effective in July of 2026. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Danielle Burke-North.
We've got a beautiful weekend shaping up. A little bit warmer on the weekend, but we'll take 86 for the high today. Clear and 60 tonight. 89 and sunny on Saturday, 61 Saturday night, sunny and 91 on Sunday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up.
Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. What do you want to say there, Russ? I know you're going to say something. You had a snarky look on your face.
Yeah, I figured I'd put a song on that you really liked.
Hey, you know what? Let's go. Let's jump around. Come on, jump around. Let's go. You know, sounds really good, really loud in the car. Now, yeah. Does that shake and rattle your car? Probably sounds like a bunch of tin cans.
My car just planting. Shakes and rattles on its own.
So, tons of stuff to talk about, some mortgage, some economy, some just everything else. And the weather's turned.
Yes.
It's nice
it's very
outside.
Very nice.
And, you know, one of the things that we need to talk about today is not only mortgages, credit, economy, but things that are happening here in Yuma. Now, in just 30 days, we're doing the Balloon Festival.
Is it that soon?
Yeah. It's second week of November.
I really like the Balloon Festival.
You know, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, that weekend. So you're going to have, and we've got some commercials, some other stuff to play for it. But do you know where the Balloon Festival is going to be held this year?
Oh, the PAC.
Okay, so it's at the PAC. You know that. We got to get everybody talking about that because for years and years and years, it was down at the West Wetlands Park. So,
which is a nice location, but not the best for balloons.
Oh, great location.
Yeah.
Parking was a little difficult.
Right.
But more importantly, that's farther south. So if you're a pilot, you don't have as much buffer zone between the West Wetlands and the border. So
right.
Moving it to the PAC.
Which now, is more east. You yep. want to go east, so, get away from the border.
So you're more east,
yeah.
and you've got that route that you're flying, because everything always, almost every year, goes down towards Summerton. And as it's flying that direction,
yes.
you're getting closer and closer to the border. So now last year they flew which direction?
North.
Yep.
Yeah.
So again, it's going to be a great show down at the PAC. You've got more balloons, some special shapes coming in this year. Now, what's a special shape?
Balloons that aren't round.
Nice. So a not round balloon means they've taken some time, energy, and a lot of money sewing things in patterns.
Yeah, man.
And
scissors
stuff.
And needles and thread. And
things that you and I can't do.
Put bumps all over it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So some special shapes, approximately 30 balloons coming in this year.
Oh, that
so
many. Good.
It's going to be a much larger event. It's out at the PAC, which also means the Friday media launch is Friday morning, so public's welcome to come watch.
Yeah. We got to do that media launch on Saturdays because I can't make a Friday media launch.
Well, you could if it was important to you, but apparently it's not really important.
I'm on the air, man.
Saturday, again. You've
I got should do the show from there.
I think you should do it from the balloon.
There.
You have a cell phone, for crying out loud. It's not like you have to be tethered with a cord
That's
anymore.
That's right. I could call in.
You should.
Oh.
Okay.
We'll check into that.
Okay.
What time does it take off for the media?
So sunrise launches. So remember.
So 6?
For, yeah, 6:30, I want to say it's 7. Like 6:15, 6:30.
Yeah.
So remember, the first balloon launches at sunrise to the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as balloon one is gone, every other pilot has authorization to go, as long as the balloon meister says it's clear and the weather's okay. So don't be late. Do get out there when it's dark, because at sunrise, the balloons are going up. And the pilots always say they need to be back on the ground by about 8:45.
Okay.
Because by 9 o'clock, as the earth is heating up and the sun starts warming the desert, the winds change a lot. So the pilots know in Arizona they want to be down by 9 o'clock. So please don't go and get cups of coffee and dilly-dally all the way over there, because by about 8:30, you're not going to see anything.
Yep. Except maybe the few that couldn't take off. You know.
But here's the butt part.
What?
So formerly, when we used to launch at West Wetlands and then the glow was over at Desert Sun Stadium, you'd have this 4 or 5 hour lag in between. Now, because the entire event is at the PAC, you've got the launches Saturday morning, you've got stuff all day long. There's going to be tethered rides, there's going to be food vendors, there's going to be a concert out there, just kind of a small show, and then that goes right into the glow that evening. So at up until 3 o'clock, gates are open. Now, do bring canned food. You know, again, we do donations to the nonprofits. However, at 3 o'clock, then there becomes a gate fee because you're coming into the glow, which is the glow.
So get there at 2:55.
Yeah, you do that. The glow, the drone show, and the fireworks. So you could literally be there all day long and enjoy the festivities. So it has become an all-day-long event, which is super cool. You do all three of those in the evening. You've got the glow, then the drone show, then the fireworks. Go home, come back Sunday morning and do it again, because the launches are again at sunrise at the PAC. So should be a really, really good event, and it's going to be nice that everything is in the same area. So you've been a part of this before.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And what people don't realize is you got to drag the light towers back and forth. The pilots have to drag their stuff back and forth. So a lot of them... This is going to be way simpler for both the setup and the pilots.
And we'll get more participation, I would assume, because of that.
I would assume. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as you can do your broadcast from the balloon on your cell phone, then we should be good.
I'll check with management and see if we can't get that done.
Well, and the good news is you're on radio, so they don't really need to see that you're flying. You could actually stand in the basket on
we
the ground.
You could hear the screaming and crying.
Now, have you ever flown in a balloon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so describe for the public what it's like being up in a balloon.
It's boring. There's no wind because you're part of the wind. So if the wind's 10 mile an hour and you're flying 10 mile an hour with the wind, you're not going to feel a thing.
You feel nothing.
So it's all peaceful. It's calm. You know, no excitement. But you can see the ground. We're not that high normally. And you can wave to people, talk to them as you fly over their house. And like, oh my gosh, there's a balloon overhead. They don't hear you coming.
But you're right. That was the strangest thing for me is the first time I flew, it's still.
Very still.
Because, like you said, you're flying at the speed of the wind. You feel nothing.
It's no wind.
If it's chilly, you're just chilly. But as soon as the pilot lights that burner.
Oh, it's not chilly.
You're nice and toasty warm.
Yeah. And it would be very good to be talking on the cell phone because there'd be no wind noise. There would be no wind noise at all.
As long as you're not breathing heavy.
Screaming and crying again, you know.
But
the landings are the ones that make me cautious because I'm a guy that wants to know where I'm going. I'm a control freak. I want to know where I'm going, where I'm going to land, how I'm going to land, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm more like an airplane guy, but because I want a rudder to go where I want to go, not where the wind goes. But it's entertaining. It's fun. I wouldn't want to be a pilot of a balloon, never knowing where I'm going. I spend most of my day like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's interesting to me is when you talk to some of those pilots, I'm in agreement with you. I really want the stick and rudder. I really would like to know where I'm going and that I'm going to land appropriately.
Exactly where I'm going.
However, when they're looking at the wind charts and they can say, 500 feet up, the wind is going this direction, 1,000 feet up, it's going that direction.
No question.
They actually do have fairly good control to a certain extent. Now, you know, you're not going to say, I need to be 10 feet farther to the left. That's a
little bit you're not going to be able to say, I want to go north.
Unless you're watching those wind patterns. And that's what's super interesting when you talk to a lot of the pilots. They're appreciative that YPG brings their weather station down, and they're actually having national level caliber weather pattern checking, if you will. I don't know what the right terminology is, but those guys know to the mile an hour which way the wind is going. Right. You know, you watch those weather balloons going up. Those guys are serious.
Well, and that's why you'll see them go up and down a little bit, trying to find that sweet spot, because there is a contest for them. That they have an X marked on the ground somewhere that the first balloon out drops, you know, puts the X out. Well, they got to drop a beanbag on and they got to get a beanbag closest to the center wins. I don't know if it's a pride thing or if they win a stuffed animal. I have no idea, but
something to do, I'm sure. So again, here we go. We're one month away from the balloon festival,
right?
And this is the time of year. I love this time of year. Weather's changed. We can be outdoors more comfortably. However, balloon festival in 30 days. What happens 2 weeks after the balloon festival?
Midnight? No, I don't
midnight?
Know.
Midnight?
Oh, no, it's too early. It's that's in
has
spring.
Has your
well, I don't know.
Has your brain? No, it's the tower lighting.
The tower lighting, Christmas.
You know, with Christmas season and the holiday season, the tower lighting is 2 weeks after the balloon festival, which is always the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
It seems like it's always longer to me, but no, it's only 2 weeks.
Always 2 weeks after the balloon festival, and it's always the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So two really big events this year coming up in November. And the balloon festival, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you say, wow, there's approximately 50% more balloons coming this year, that's a heck of a growth by the chairman.
30 is a huge, huge amount.
Yeah, and three of those that I can track are special shapes. So it's not just the balloons, but it's bringing bigger balloons in that have some wow factor and draw. Not that the other balloons don't, but it's going to be a phenomenal event, and I'm super excited to see how it turns out at the PAC. Visibility should be better for everybody for the launch because, again, out at the West Wetlands, if you weren't already in, you weren't seeing the inflation and you weren't seeing the ascension. You know, they'd have to be up 500-700 feet before you actually saw anything happening. Out at the PAC, you're going to see that from the mall. You're going to see that from the freeway.
Right. There's not a lot of trees in the way and stuff. Right. Right.
A few light poles on the baseball field.
You want to
stay
away from those.
Yeah, I would think you want to stay away. But the pilots all tell me it's no big deal that you're not going to launch right next to them. And by the time their balloon's actually shifting at all, they're
above
you're
going to be up high, taller than the light post. So yeah. Those light posts are pretty tall. But they know what they're doing.
You get a tape measure and you go measure them. They just tell me they're going to get over them.
No, they will.
Okay.
They will. I trust them.
Food. There's going to be food vendors out there. There's going to be drinks out there. Mm-hmm. Come on out. Spend the day on Saturday. Even come out half day on Sunday. Inexpensive entertainment for the family. And that's the one thing, again, growing up with my kids, the kids loved the Balloon Festival. They loved Midnight at the Oasis. All of these events that it doesn't cost you and I anything really as parents.
Right.
You show up in the morning and you wow the kids, then you go take them to breakfast, or you stay out there all day long and do the tethered rides. Yeah. That was cool.
My grandkids always loved that that nighttime light, the light at night, just running around in the grass and mm-hmm. all the
Isn't it interesting? So there's been some videos produced this year that show the public what that glow looks like.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people, even in my office, that they've never gone. They weren't sure what this thing called a glow was. And as soon as you show them that you're literally walking in and amongst the balloons and you're talking to the pilots while these things are lighting up.
Yeah. They don't leave the ground.
No.
But it's just, it's awesome at night. I mean, they're translucent. The lights
go through.
I think
that's actually, and again, I love the launches. I think that's more fun than the launches because you're talking to the pilots, the balloons are there. It's a longer event and it's community that you're just seeing everybody.
Yeah, the kids kids have a really good time with it.
Do you?
Yes, because I'm watching the kids.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of good things. I hope everybody comes out. It's a month away, so some stuff to prepare. Mm-hmm. I know that they're always looking for volunteers to help crew. So if you or a group of people you know want to help crew, call the Caballero office and talk with Marissa or Dan, see if any crew is needed. What most people don't realize is the pilot goes up, but there's got to be somebody driving the chase vehicle, and it typically takes 3 to 5 people holding ropes on the ground to get it ready to go. So the pilot and, let's say, pilot and spouse coming in from out of town still need a crew to help get those up. So there's things for people to do to volunteer, and there's tons of opportunities to sponsor. So if you're looking to sponsor, talk to Jeff Kamen and or Marissa.
I've been on the chase cars before, and it's always fun.
It's fun.
Chase them down. Make sure you get there before they land.
As long as you know where they're going.
Well, that's the fun part. You're looking up, saying, look, they're going this way. They're going that way.
And were you the year that you were going the wrong way on the freeway chasing?
No, that wasn't me. Somebody I met once.
So lots of stuff to cover, but before we take our break, let's run this commercial. And then
take the break after?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, here we go.
Love saving money? Then it's time to join AARP.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Get ready, Yuma. The skies are alive and they're bursting with color. The 2025 Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival is back, November 14th through the 16th. And this year it's bigger, better, and higher than ever. We've moved to the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex to bring you more space, more fun, and more balloons than ever before. Enjoy epic sunrise launches, incredible food and craft vendors, and non-stop family fun all weekend long. Don't miss the dazzling desert balloon glow, plus a cutting-edge drone show and fireworks finale that will light up the Yuma night. Prepare to be amazed. It's the can't-miss event of the year. The sky's the limit. We'll see you there.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that.
All right, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU, Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Mortgage One. Russ Clark in studio, color commentary. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
So, you know, I threw a commercial at him, so everybody, when you heard that, that was me saying, hey, we've got some super cool stuff. Let's play that. And he goes, okay. So that was awesome. Again, watching this grow, what would it look like if you could have 40 or 50 balloons?
I've in been to something like that before.
Oh, well, I mean, Albuquerque
it just gets more impressive, but 30's huge,
oh,
buddy.
100%. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, here's what's interesting. Let's equate that growth to mortgages, credit, everything else. Russ, do you want to be the same in 20 years as you are today, financially, credit, educated? Or do you want to be a little bit better?
Well, I'm comfortable with being where I'm at right now. I'm not in a growth thing. I mean, maybe I am a little bit. But
the guy who's working out, going to the gym, going to the doctor, getting all this stuff done. Don't give me that you're comfortable. You're still working hard to do stuff.
I am working hard to do stuff. But that's I feel I'm maintaining, really. I mean, I got to keep doing something, grow or die.
Right.
But I'm not looking to expand into a multinational business or anything.
No, and you don't have to be going into a multinational business, but there's always steps to improve, whether it's a budget, whether it's credit, whether it's planning something for finances, and just being a student of the market, watching what's happening in the economy and watching what's happening that you can take advantage of. And when I say take advantage, just there's opportunities around everywhere. Why do you drive the car you drive?
I like it.
And you had the opportunity to have something that was safe, reliable, and now inexpensive.
Right.
So the opportunity cost was you got rid of a car payment and you took the opportunity for something so you could shift your finances elsewhere on purpose.
Right, which kind of surprised me because I liked the car that I sold, but I didn't know I would like this little Suki. But things you just mentioned made perfect sense.
But that growth was a growth for you, some people would look at it and go, well, that's not growth. He got rid of a nicer, shinier car. You know what I mean? So my growth is not your growth, and both of our growths are not the next person's growth. But you're looking at, is the market good for real estate, for mortgage, for lending, for opportunity?
Right.
And the answer is yes. And even if it's not, the answer is yes, because it's not a good market or a bad market. It's the market. Now, remember, more than a year ago, we said, hey, by December of 2025, rates are going to be somewhere. By December of 2024, rates are going to be somewhere. And do you remember what I said rates would be December of 2024?
No, but it was
near
8%. 8, whatever, but it was going to be high.
Near 8%.
It's hard to say when we just left 3.
But we said that, and they touched near 8, and we said, once that pressure relief valve starts, you're going to slowly see them come down, and people are not going to realize how far they come down because it's going to feel high because we're not in those threes anymore. Do you know where rates roughly are? And again, here's the asterisk. The attorneys always want me to say that it depends on your credit score and loan program.
All that matters. Correct.
But where are rates approximately now?
7? I don't know.
Nope.
They're not.
Low sixes. And, you know, you see a lot of billboards and people advertising garbage that is, oh, you can have a 4.99%. What they're not showing you is the asterisks of the discount points and all that other junk. But if you're telling me that rates 12 months ago were touching 6 and rates now, or excuse me, touching 8 12 months ago and now they're touching 6, I'm pretty good at math. That's a 25% decrease in interest rates.
That's a lot.
That's huge when you're talking about a $300,000 or $400,000 purchase. But if you're not a student of the market, what do you typically hear people say? Oh, I'm going to wait until rates come down. Oh, it's too expensive. Wait a minute. Rates are down 25% and they're better than the historical average.
But since they're going down, let's not jump until it gets to bottom. How do you know what that is?
Well, you never know where there's a bottom, but you take advantage of the roller coaster ride down. So let's pretend you bought and interest rates are at 6 and rates went down to 5. Great. You do a refinance. You don't wait until the rates are down farther because home prices go up when rates go down. Now, for you, Russ, are you in the market for a home?
No.
No. So you don't really care about that portion of it per se. However, if you're in growth mode, how about your kids? How about your grandkids?
Yeah, they'll.
So even if you're not in growth mode, you need to be in the position that you can educate people who are in your circle of influence or people you care about. And hopefully they're the same group of people. But, you know, you start talking about, let's say, your daughter. Is she going to be buying a new home in the next 5 years?
Yes.
Great. What's the path and plan to make sure she's ready when that time comes? Because you don't go get on, like, Russ, if you needed to lose 20 pounds today, can you just not eat today and you're 20 pounds lighter?
No.
No. How long would it take you to lose 20 pounds?
A year to do it right.
That's the same concept when you're talking about financing and mortgages. And I talked with a young kid yesterday, smart kid, was asking some great questions, came in with his dad. So dad's there for kind of moral support and just in case son needs something like a cosigner. Cool. This kid's 28 years old, looking to buy his first home, which do you know what the national average is for home buyers this last year?
What do you mean, national average for age?
National age of a first
home. I would say 30 at this point.
Used to be 31.
Okay.
Now it's 38 this last 12 months.
Wow.
So this kid is 10 years ahead of the national average, which, again, there's always got to be a low and a high to come up with an average. But he's 28, and he's asking really good questions. Russ Clark, is this kid going to live in that home for the next 50 years?
Likely no.
Cool. So we're teaching him this is what you need to do to buy your first home. He's about 6 months away. Why? Because of job history. Dad could co-sign, but we're just going to wait a little bit because then it's on his own and he feels accomplished.
Yeah.
But, okay, if he buys this first home, 3 to 5 years later, would you and I both expect his income to go up as his career continues?
Well, if someone's starting out, they're not going to be at their highest. They grow. They grow. It's going to go up, hopefully.
So this kid came in and was asking about buying a first home, and he left with a plan that over the next 30 years, he's going to buy 5 homes minimum.
Oh.
Live.
Is this your child?
Nope.
Okay.
No. But I think everybody should have that.
That's a great goal.
Education.
Yeah.
Now, whether you take advantage of it or not, that's a different story. But he now knows there's a path and a plan of what he can do to help his wealth building over his lifetime. And what was his dad then asking at the end of the meeting? Is it too late for me to start that same thing?
Oh, well, it's not too late.
No, it's not. You're just changing the times that you buy, but you could still do that.
Yeah.
You're pulling stuff up, and you always intrigue me when you're pounding on your keyboard over there.
Yeah.
So, we're good. But that growth mode, that kid, and I say kid, you know, respectfully, that kid is open to education and open to learning something new that his parents hadn't taught him.
Well, but congratulations to his parents for putting him on the question. I mean, putting
100%.
Making him inquisitive and want to be successful.
And I'm going to go back. Russ, how many people don't want to get more physically educated like you did to become more physically fit? Because you had to learn before you did.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most people aren't engaged. I mean, even people that go to the gym, it's kind of a social thing and a little bit of exercise, but but not really focused.
So there's some really good information out there, and there's also things that people do that maybe not the best thing to do. So if I said, hey, Russ, have you seen any prominent people being accused of mortgage fraud in the news as of late?
Yes.
Okay. It's mortgage fraud, in your opinion?
Lying.
Okay, so you lie on an application that gets you something that you otherwise would not get.
Better rate. One of the popular ones right now is you claim it's your the house you live in when it's really a rental. Mm-hmm. Because you get a better rate.
Which is called occupancy fraud.
Yeah, and that's a big crime. It's serious.
So if
Letitia James.
Yeah, that's one of the three notable ones that's in the news right now.
Right.
If you went in with a loaded firearm to a convenience store and held them up and took all their money, is that theft?
Yes.
And everybody knows that. But if you lie on forms to get a better interest rate or qualify for a mortgage that you wouldn't otherwise qualify for, is that the same theft?
Yes.
Sure. Why are owner-occupied home interest rates lower than investment property or second homes?
Risk.
Risk. Thank you. That one word, the risk is most people are going to let their business or their extra home go before they let their primary residence go. So when you hear these people that are accused of, because I haven't seen the forms, but they're accused of lying on their forms to get an owner-occupied loan. What they're really doing is they're taking interest away from Wall Street, the investors, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, because it's really going to be a Fannie Freddie loan. Now, I'm pretty good at math. Let's just do some simple, and this is not to the penny, so anybody who's got a mathematical calculator, just don't check me on this. But if you bought a $500,000 home and you saved 1% interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over the life of the loan, your loan is not a half a million, it's $250,000.
Okay.
Because you start with full, you end with zero. So over the 30 years, it's half. So use $250,000 as the average loan balance over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
1% interest is $2,500.
Okay.
So that person who lied on that form is saving $2,500 a year for potentially 30 years. What's the math on that?
Well, 10 years, $25,000.
$75,000 minimum is what they just stole from Wall Street and the investors.
But it's more than that when you do interest in it, too.
But again, interest doesn't compound. It's simple interest because you're paying it. So that really is approximately the number. There's an amortization table I can get you to the penny. But those people that are accused of doing that are literally stealing $75,000 per $500,000 purchase. But you and I or anybody else, if you stole $50 at a convenience store, you're going to have the police come get you and you're going to go get your mug shot taken.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing when people don't see mortgage fraud as you really hurting anybody, but you're actually
Let me ask you about mistakes.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say I bought a house and I sold it. I mean, I didn't sell it. I kept it when I bought a new house. And I put my new house as my primary.
How long did you own the old home before you bought a new one?
3 years.
Perfect. So by definition, the legal requirement when you and I sign our loan documents and that paperwork is I'm going to live there for 12 months.
Right.
So as long as you've lived in it for 12 months as your primary, great. Now, if you said, and there's a couple of examples in the news, if let's say I happen to be living in California, because that's where my primary residence is, and I'm going to go buy a home in Maryland, right? Which one of those, and again, you can do some research on who I might be maybe talking about, but if you have to live in a certain area for your job, that by definition is your primary residence because that's where your income comes from, right?
Okay.
So I can't say this other residence in another state is my primary residence because my income is derived because I have to live in a certain area. And you can't have two primaries at the same time because by definition, you have to live there more than half of the year.
Right.
That's what they're talking about. And it's literally, you mentioned one, there's a couple others prominently in the news, look them up, that are accused of doing that. And I say accused. Look, if somebody's making the accusation, somebody has the actual mortgage application. They really do. Now, there are times that I can see a customer didn't actually know what they were doing, even though they should, and the people that are accused of it are intelligent enough to know. But they don't know what they're doing because the mortgage banker or mortgage broker did it to give the person something that looked like it was a below market.
Now, so is that an accessory to a crime?
Well, if you read the documents, you're supposed to read what you're signing. So yes, in my opinion, it would be. But I think there's a lot of people who have committed mortgage fraud that didn't realize they did because their loan officer or their loan company put them into something because they were able to make more money and they were able to give them a better rate, and the customer just didn't know why. Now, the educated people that we're talking about,
they know.
You know what you're signing because it's right there on the form, for crying out loud. You have to sign it three different places that says, literally, this is my primary residence. This is my second home. Yeah. This is an investment property.
Well, some of them are prosecuting others for doing that.
Oh, say it isn't so.
That's what I swear.
But now you go down that road. So mortgage fraud, one of the big things that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are looking at, and that's the biggest catch term over the last probably 12 months, is occupancy fraud. Interesting. Yeah. Fannie, Freddie are now looking at occupancy fraud, and they are literally auditing almost every file that goes in, AI-driven, but they're, and we've talked about a couple of these companies that have been hired just to sift through their AI bots to look for patterns and fraud and things like that. Planetier, that was one of them. Plantar, I don't know the pronunciation, but that was one that was going to start going through Fannie Mae's books to look for certain fraud patterns. That is one of those untold, I don't want to say stories, but that's one of those things that has really hampered the industry for a long time. But you had unscrupulous people that were doing it that never got caught. Do you remember, and this is, we're getting really in the weeds now, appraisal management. Can I, as a lender, call an appraiser and say, let's say you're an appraiser, Russ. Can I call you and go, hey, Russ, I need you to go appraise 123 Oak Street?
Sure.
No.
No.
I can't talk to you directly. The appraisal independence is loan officers were forcibly going and directing all of their appraisals to one or two people.
Okay.
And then communicating with them and going, hey, Russ, I need this home to be at least $500,000. Can you make that come in? Ugh. And so they were influencing people. So what happened is, and it's so funny because two court cases, and it's weird how things work the wrong way. Two court cases in New York, there was a appraisal management company that was doing those dirty deeds and kind of influencing things for the betterment of their investors and the loan companies. So that neutral third party, so it wasn't the loan officer actually talking to the appraiser, it was that neutral third party. One of the lawsuits that came out is the appraisal independence. Now loan officers can't ever talk to an appraiser. You have to use a third party company, like the same ones that got them in trouble in the first place. But that appraisal piece was one of the things that the industry tagged the demise in 08-09 to, because inflated values were the norm.
Huh.
Okay. So the industry changed a lot because of it, quote unquote, inflated values. What is the industry worried about right now? What we just talked about.
Yeah.
Occupancy fraud.
Occupancy fraud.
So you have people out there, and I don't think it's just the three that you and I could Google that are prominent people in the news right now.
Probably a lot.
There's a huge number of people.
And these are felonies. These are not small deals.
Well, and here's where he who has the best attorney wins.
Yeah.
If I just told you that mathematically that was a $75,000 theft from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, is that considered a felony?
Yeah.
Yeah. And signing documents that are fraudulent is also, I mean, you could have some huge issues come up. But what I'm saying is you have these people that have two or three or four homes that are all claimed as their owner occupied. They're not paying the interest that is rightfully due. And now, do they sell them? Do they refinance them and get out of them?
They better talk to their lawyer about that and find out what they need to do.
So lots of things that's one of the biggest things in the news right now. And you said it, that, you know, that was one of the three that she was brought up on charges 6 days ago.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. And truth be told, it's really Gomer Pyle simple. Pull out the application. In the loan world, we call it the URLA, the Uniform Residential Loan Application. Right there, the checkbox is going to be primary, second, investment. That's it. Pull out the secondary docs that are in the loan application that says, I'm going to use this home as this. Where's the mail go? If it's your primary residence, you should probably have the mail going to that primary residence.
Yeah, it usually doesn't happen. The other thing they did is bought a rental unit that had like a four residents, five residents, And as it goes up, that becomes more expensive too. And they lied about how many
units,
mm-hmm. which it's pretty obvious, especially when you go rent all five of them the next week.
Yeah. Now, and again, here's where the you're getting into the weeds on another thing. So one to four units is considered residential. Five units or more is considered commercial. So if you said, hey, I have a five-unit building, but we're only going to claim it as a four so you can get a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac loan, and now you get a 30-year fixed versus going to your commercial lender and their 25-year adjustable rate mortgages, yeah. huge fraud, because now you have the mortgage fraud of the property type, and it wasn't even qualified for it in the first place. So there's a huge amount of things out there. And again, just be wary.
Tell the truth.
If I said, Russ, you need to go fill up your car with gas.
Yeah.
Is there a huge difference in price between gas stations?
No, not a lot.
Not really. Why?
They're all getting from the same place, basically, and the competition can see it. It's visible.
And guess what happens with mortgages?
Same.
We're all getting it from the same place. Anybody who says, oh, we're significantly cheaper.
No.
No, you're not. Everybody is literally the same. Now, you do have some people that have higher costs, so they're going to price a little higher. You have some people who run a little skinnier. There's no huge difference. So, like with these, the occupancy, if you're being told that your interest rate could be 1% lower than everybody else, one of two things is happening.
Okay. It's possible.
It's possible. You could be charged lots of discount points.
Right, but you pay a lot.
Or there may be something tactically wrong with that. And I had a guy come in. He goes, hey, I got a quote for 4.75% interest on this 30-year fixed. Cool. I can do that too. Here's the rate sheet straight from Wall Street. Yesterday, that was about 8 discount points.
Oh.
Russ, what's a discount point for those that don't know?
Is that a quarter point? I don't
know. No. A discount point is 1% of the sales price.
Okay. It's 1%. Wow.
So 8 points on his $300,000 home. Yeah, that's 24 grand.
Yes.
You could absolutely do that if you want to pay
$3,000 a point.
$24,000.
And there might be a reason to do it. But generally not in a house long enough to make that worthwhile.
No,
plus you can refinance in a few years.
Well, you're touching all the right points, and it's a look, there's advice and there's advertising. And that was marketing to get somebody to call because that's the hook that company has. And that's not going to do anybody any good, because are you going to live in the home long enough to earn that 24 grand back?
Generally, no. Not according to look at the stats for the average person, no.
And I would ask this question as a poll. If you as the community think interest rates are going down over the next year or two, Russ, do you?
I think it's possible.
I do. I think rates will be lower in a year or two.
Yeah.
So if rates are coming down, why would I want to spend any extra money to buy the rate down when I'm going to refinance it in the next year or two anyway?
Now,
if you thought interest rates were going up and were never coming back down, then it might be a good investment. But I'd also want to look at the opportunity cost of what else I was going to do with that 24 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, Russ, how much is a pizza?
I don't know, 15 bucks.
Okay, can we round it to like 20 so the math is even?
20.
Okay, how many pizzas is $24,000?
More than I'd eat at lunch.
I mean, pretty good at math, isn't that?
More than 100.
Isn't that like 1,200 pizzas?
Yeah.
Why, you know, and again, that's not everything in my life isn't about a pizza. But if you're if you're telling me that I could buy 1,200 pizzas over the next 5 years with that money, I'm feeding my family, my friends for a long time. Why do I want to just throw that 24 grand into the mortgage to save 2 points in interest?
Well, you don't, particularly since you can refinance.
Right.
You know, the refinance throws it out the window.
So
right,
lots
there.
Of other stuff. I've got a couple of stats and things that we can talk about after the break. We've got 15 minutes left of the show. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Get ready, Yuma. The skies are alive and they're bursting with color. The 2025 Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival is back. November 14th through the 16th. And this year it's bigger, better, and higher than ever. We've moved to the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex to bring you more space, more fun, and more balloons than ever before. Enjoy epic sunrise launches, incredible food and craft vendors, and non-stop family fun all weekend long. Don't miss the dazzling desert balloon glow, plus a cutting-edge drone show and fireworks finale that will light up the Yuma night. Prepare to be amazed. It's the can't-miss event of the year. The sky's the limit. We'll see you there.
Little Tom Petty action on a gorgeous Friday morning. That was nice, Russ.
It really is nice outside.
Yeah. Oh, just roll the windows down, turn the ACs off, and enjoy a lot. Yeah. Tons of stuff to talk about. And you opened with, privately, we were talking about old age and stuff, yeah. And you got accused of being old.
Yeah.
And
accused? You know, I was just noted.
You were noted. officially diagnosed, is that what it was?
Exactly.
But you know, going back to some people, and it's funny, not funny, but the more we put technology in my industry that is supposed to be paperless, the more paper we have all over the place. And had a customer come in yesterday, and he was giving me that, you know, I'm old. I don't know how to do this technology stuff. And I said, now, wait a minute. You and I, because he's about my age, so I'm not old, so he can't be old.
All right.
I'm like, wait a minute. We were of the age that we were the first generation that had the Atari 2600. We were the first video game group that, you know, the old black console with the cartridge that you'd slam in there and you could sit in front of the TV. Don't tell me that you don't know how to do technology if you played video games for 5 hours a day and then you got into all these other things, the Nintendos and the Wii's. And he goes, yeah, I do remember. We used to go to the video arcade and this. Like, then don't tell me you don't know technology. You just haven't kept up with it, but you're carrying an iPhone right now in front of you that's a supercomputer. So sometimes we get in our own way and we tell ourselves these stories that aren't really true. Russ, are you old? Do you feel old?
No.
No. Does this guy, should he really feel old? No. He was a little intimidated because I'm sure his son or grandkid is running around him, you know, with all of this other smarts. But my goodness, whether it's mortgage or credit or finance or fitness or taking care of your auto, we all can learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. There is no too old. And again, you talk about things that are leading people in the right direction. Look, it's never going to be perfect today. One of the people that I'm proudest of is somebody that you know as well, started with a credit score that was in the low 500s and now has a credit score that's going to be touching 700. Okay, cool. That's about 100, you know, from where she started to where she is now.
Right.
It's about 150 point increase. Does that mean that person, compared to 6 months ago, can qualify for better rates on a car?
Yes.
qualify for better rates on a credit card.
Yes.
Probably qualify now for house. Yes. Probably qualify for other types of financing with good interest rates. And it's amazing how doors open in life when you spend some time working on your credit. Russ, do you feel better where you can go riding your bike and hiking Telegraph and doing these things because you've invested in yourself physically?
Oh, tons.
Cool. Did it hurt and did it suck the first day?
Yeah.
Okay. What was it? What did you, probably go home and go to bed and want to throw up after the first day?
Something similar. Yeah. But then it becomes, I crave it at this point. I mean, if I miss a day, it's noteworthy.
And that's one of the biggest things with technology is it's kind of like a scale. Do you step on the scale every day?
Pretty much now, yeah.
Because it's accountability.
Well, yes. And I've got a goals and I'm one to verify.
Okay. And because we have technology, you can see literally your credit score daily with some of these apps. Don't do the paid one, you know, do it through your credit card or something else. Yeah. But you can see your credit score like a scale and you can see when progress moves. You can look at in some of these apps, and I know you used to use Mint. I don't know if you use a different one since they've changed.
Yeah, they've changed. I don't look at it as much as I used to.
But you can literally budget daily. You can see your balances in real time. And having the data and the technology helps us move in the right direction should you choose to. And it's not going to be perfect day one. It's not going to be perfect day 15. But if you're moving in the right direction.
But if you keep looking at it and if you have goals set and you keep verifying, you enter, you interact with it every day, you're going to have it top of mind and you're going to get better because you have an invested interest in it.
Right. That's the only reason I love still doing this is teaching people that there's a path and a plan. Look, you don't have to have great credit today.
No.
But look, I'll work with you, whether it's a day, a week, a month, or a year. As long as you're working on it, I will continue to coach you and help you get it done in the right direction. It's the person who goes, hey, I have a bankruptcy yesterday. I'm not paying any of my bills. I'm not going to. Can you fix my credit?
Well, you can fix it.
You know, you have to have your vested interest in it. I don't care what credit repair company that's out there. Nobody's going to wave a magic wand and have it all done in one day.
You can pay the people to tell you how to do it, or you can get Derek to do it for free.
And they're still going to take the same amount of time to go through it because it's the same.
There's no magic wand.
No.
Look, and it depends on what the damage is.
Oh.
I mean, some things, it's going to take a little bit of time to get over. You know, like if you've been late on payments where they want to see a track record where you're not, and that's going to take some more time. If it's just because you have too much on your credit cards, that's gonna probably take
now,
less. You know,
you're saying it depends on what the damage is,
right?
Which is exactly the same as let's use it for health and fitness. If you were 400 pounds and you were eating nothing but candy all day long, is your body more damaged than somebody who is eating? And maybe they're 300 pounds, but they were eating more of a balanced diet, just too much food.
Exactly right.
There's things that you have to get over, and sometimes you don't even know what they are until you look.
But even if you had a bankruptcy or something, it's all fixable. It just takes more time. I mean, that's a damage. It's going to take a couple of years. But get to work on it right now.
Right.
And you get all these other categories in place that are going to improve it.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of years, the bankruptcy becomes a non-issue.
Yeah. Technically 2 years if you're FHA, VA. Could be 3 years if you're conventional. If everything is ruined, it's going to be 7 years.
Yeah.
But no, there's a path and a plan. I mean, let's be brutally honest. Did you go to college?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was your eating habit and what was your
McDonald's.
Finances like in college?
McDonald's.
McDonald's and anything that was super cheap, right?
Yeah, right. But we had the coupons back then. And there were so many coupons that they were playing games that every time you got a gold medal at the Olympic, you got a free hamburger.
Yeah.
And that's when Russia dropped out. So we were winning like everything. And so I was just getting tons of
And that's
free
when
food.
You had like the 49 cent hamburgers and 59 cent cheeseburgers.
It was great.
And you ate inexpensively because that's what you could afford.
Right.
And now you do something slightly different. You know, I remember college. It was Hormel chili, Tang, and Top Ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it was a lot of food for cheap.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what you did because you didn't really have a path and plan, but you knew, I got to get through college. I want to get this. I want to kind of develop.
And happy hours, free hors d'oeuvres.
Well, you know the best thing? And
what?
You know, I don't know. I think they still do it, but Denny's, did a free meal on your birthday.
Yes.
Okay.
I think
so
they still
when,
do.
Well, when I was in NAU in Flagstaff, there's three Denny's in Flagstaff.
You
East,
ate
Central,
breakfast
West.
Lunch?
Oh, everybody at NAU did. You went to one for breakfast, you went to one for lunch, you went to one for dinner, and you
wow.
actually had three square meals
That's
on your
nice.
Birthday. But, you know, again, system-wide, did that also encourage everybody to go study at Denny's and hang
sure.
out? And so we spent a grip of money at Denny's for inexpensive coffees and malts and just breakfast studying. But that lead in marketing, those three things really did help. Now, coming back to it, the path and the plan wasn't, I want to live that way forever.
No.
You went to college. Why did you go to college?
That's where the girls were.
It's probably the most honest statement you've said in a long time.
You know, I had aspirations of being more than I was, and I think it was mentorship to push me.
Okay.
And so to fulfill those aspirations, I know I needed to add some skill sets.
And you spent a grip of money.
Yeah, I paid my way through. I didn't, I mean.
But you spent a lot of money to be educated and yeah. mentored and grow.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't really take advantage of things that are inexpensive or free, or we don't put any value behind them. You know, again, most of the things I've learned or figured out didn't cost a lot from the mortgage industry, but they've cost me a lot because I did stupid things with credit and didn't do things in the right order previously. Those are the things that I like sharing again, is just teaching people how to not make the same mistakes. Because you and I have talked about, what was my first mistake on a house? About 50 grand.
Yeah.
And again, anybody who wants to challenge that, I can explain exactly how long I shouldn't have been in the rental, exactly what I could have bought the home for, when I should have bought
yeah.
it, exactly what the AC unit cost the day after I moved in because I didn't get a home inspection or home warranty. All of that stuff, it's like, man, I literally am enjoying my new home and I'm a homeowner. And then it realized it cost me 50 grand more than it should have. Okay, let's just not make those stupid mistakes. So whether it's I got to eat Tang and Hormel chili and Top Ramen, would you eat a bologna sandwich for lunch if it helped you save money and get physically fit?
Done that. I'd fry it, though.
Would you?
Fried bologna.
Okay.
Extra like, I haven't had a bologna sandwich in 30, 40 years. But
like
yeah,
Miracle Whip or mayo? I'm curious.
Mayo.
Mayo. Okay, so now there's that argument. Are you a Miracle Whip or a mayo guy on bologna? You know, that's kind of like the old Coke and Pepsi thing. So, you know, we've got a lot of fun stuff we can talk about. And, Russ, I appreciate you that you allow me to do these things on air.
Sure.
I also appreciate people who ask good questions and come in and just tactically want to learn and grow and get better. I appreciate the men and women in our military who are serving on our behalf for generations that served previously. Because you and I don't get to be fun, free Americans without people who served for our benefit. And less than 3% of the public in the United States will ever serve in the armed forces. So 97% of us live free because 3% were willing to go out and really possibly pay the ultimate sacrifice.
Wow.
And there have been people who have taken a bullet for you and I. So respectfully, as we go do things, whether it's the tower lighting, and you see 4th of July, you know, the garrison-sized flag on top of the water tower. Whether you see it's the balloon festival and it's the first balloon launching to the national anthem, that still gives me goosebumps and gives me chills, not just because it's the song or not just because it's the flag, but I realize what the red stripes of the flag means.
Right.
And that's the blood spilled from the patriots that have helped build this country. So from all of us at Mortgage One, all of us at 560 AM KBLU, thank you to those who are serving and have served. Have a very safe and wonderful weekend. Look forward to seeing you all out at the Balloon Festival in just 30 short days.
Hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't that America? You and me. Ain't that America?
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.